I got heartbreak for jet lag, and you got free. I got heartbreak for jet lag, and you got free.
That's Vera Ellen and the title track from her new EP, Heartbreak for Jet Lag. Vera's in Wellington, where she and her band are preparing for a nationwide tour along with Reb Fountain and Voom. So before we hear about the EP, what kind of show is Vera planning for this big tour?
So it's a massive, a lot of variety. So I'm playing stuff from It's Your Birthday, Ideal Home Noise, Heartbreak for Jet Lag, and also from my new album that no one's heard yet. Trying out a couple of songs from that too. So lots of variety, lots of swapping. Like, right. There's a couple of songs where I'm playing bass. We're all kind of swapping a lot. I mean, we always do, but we definitely are in the set in ways that we haven't before. So it's really exciting. We're definitely trying to make it like quite a big show.
Right.
Like really think hard on the curation of
the flow of it. So when you say you're trying out new songs, what does that mean for you? Do you see what the audience reaction is? How they work on stage between the musicians? What are you looking for?
Well, we performed these songs in America. So we have performed, a couple of us at least, performed them in America. So I think I learned a lot through that in terms of how the audience receives it. We have a lot of these songs we haven't finished recording. So I think it's kind of interesting to play them live and then see how that might affect how the song ends up being.
Yep.
Aside from that, it's just fun to play new material. So I just wanted to play it. I just wanted to do the new stuff.
And who are you working with the recording? Do you have a producer or?
Ben Lemmy again.
Ben, okay, yep. Great. Oh, that sounds like fun. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
And of course, now you're the Tate Music Award prize winner thingy. That
changes
everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. That would be awesome.
Did you have any idea it was coming?
No, I didn't. I definitely was very taken back. I kind of thought that I had certain suspicions about a month before, but then they kind of all went away because everyone I thought I was suspicious of covered themselves really well, and kind of had said like, "Oh, I don't actually know," and so I was like, "Oh, I'm just reading into that." And so by the time I actually was in Auckland, I was like, "Oh, there's no chance," and I was quite happy to just be considered. Yeah.
Very good, very good. So now this EP that amazing. You have out, "Heartbreak for Jet Lag," it seems to be a very personal kind of. Emotional and so I don't know how much you want to go into the nuts and bolts of this thing, but tell me what you want to tell me about how it started to come together at least.
Sure. So I had the idea for a little while that I wanted to put out an EP of like how I used to make music, which is much more sort of in the demo form. And whenever I'm making an album like Ideal Home Noise or It's Your Birthday, I always demo it out front to back. So it sounds like how the EP sounds before it becomes a big produced song.
Right.
And I knew that I had a few songs like from last year and then a couple of weeks before putting them out that I wanted to keep that way. And I thought, well, I don't always want to be having to wait 9 months to put out a record. I don't want everything to have to be on vinyl and have to be like this really long, thought out, expensive process. Right. If you've been following me for a while, you know that I put out a lot of EPs like that in the past. So I was like, well, I haven't done that in a few years. So there's that element. And then I did get back from America and I got dumped. So
oh,
I was
man.
Like, had all of, I, it was brutal. So I had Heartbreak for Jet Lag. And then I just went right into the emotion of it. And it was quite amazing. Like quite, I was like, wow, I didn't know I could feel like this still. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't know I was capable of like hurting this much, and it was just creatively like it sounds messed up, but creatively I was really interested in it and I just wanted to go into it and be like really like feel it out. So yeah,
so something of a learning process as well.
always you never stop learning, eh?
Yeah. So it looks like you've done most everything yourself on the EP, other than track four with Ollie Devlin there. So what made you, you got him in there singing, he does sings a verse and some harmonies with you?
In the middle of the cold, I struck out like I'm saying everything tonight. In the middle of the cold, I struck out like I'll let out everything tonight. You see me in the bar, see me talking hard, see me in the dark, not as I am with my palms up. In the middle of the cold, I struck out like I'm saying everything tonight.
I wrote that song, I think, last year. Might have been the year before now. No, it was last year. And I always wanted to do a duet. I knew that song was a duet.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking about who I would want it to be with, and I have wanted to work with him for a while. So I sent it to him ages ago. And then about 6 months later, we were driving back from Auckland, from doing a show in Auckland in the tour van. And I opened this message from him, and he had added his verse. And I just was weeping. I was just like, this is beautiful. And so then it was like, okay, now we just have to find a time to get together. And there was one night in Wellington, a few months even after that, and it was like torrential rain. It was stormy. It was like really terrible weather. And I asked him, I was like, do you want to just come over to my house and we'll get it done? So we just recorded it in my room with like live mics, two acoustic guitars, and two vocals just done one evening. So, yeah.
And it is pretty much voice and guitar for the most part, pretty stripped down, but you've incorporated some other elements into it that kind of pop up here and there. Do you want to tell me about those a little bit?
Yeah, and the rest of the EP?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's sort of got piano. Lockie was house sitting for our boss, Ben, and Sonia. And Sonia is a piano teacher, and so I was actually, I don't know if she knows this, but I was playing around on her keyboard, and so you hear that in a bit of the record as well. There's some like electronic drum stuff I play with, some synth stuff, I think maybe on the last track there's bass. So yeah, messing around with a few different textures, but I'm always such a fan of like the piano, like piano sound,
right?
Especially with those kind of pullback, the acoustic, the even just like the slightly out of tune kind of echo sound of the piano notes is just like, it's my favorite. So,
So do you play piano on stage during this thing, or is it electric or piano or keyboard, or is that what the plan is?
Yeah, my brother does. He's got like a Korg, right. And it's a keyboard, but it's like you just put the piano setting on and stuff. But I mean, a real piano would be very cool if we had the budget.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
One song I wanted to touch on was Teenage, is it Star or STA?
Yeah.
Because it seems to have something, it's quiet, but yet not, there's like a little kind of feel of something else going on in there. Do you mind going into that a little bit?
Yeah.
I know I'm a classic kind, and I don't mind, cause I'm gonna break in. Wake up in the dreaming, she said I got to thank. Don't forget to take out the bins. I guess the verdict's in. Didn't mean to be so hard for you to be around. I'm gonna break you down.
Yeah, that one was, I did that all in one night, actually, last year. It was like after a night out, and I just came back home, and I had just flooded with all these thoughts and feelings. And actually my friends were like asleep on the couch, and I was like camped out on the floor, and I brought all my gear in, and I just had like a blanket, and I was just kind of like that. Just one of those like early morning, 3 a.m. kind of makes. So. Yeah, so it's really, I think it is quite, I don't know if the word is aggressive, but it's relentless. Like the verses there's not any breath. The verses just keep going, and it's the feeling of the build up and build up of a feeling in your head kind of thing, and then it just kind of explodes at the end. So I think that one would be really fun live once I've taught it to my band.
Right. So how when you bring these to the band, because obviously this is the first time, I mean, there is a transition from going from what you recorded to what's happening on stage. So what do you tell them, and what are you looking for from them?
It depends on the song. So like there's some songs where I'm just very, very specific, especially with like the bass parts and the vocals and things like that. And then there'll be certain things where, like, for example, my brother is like, he's really good at improv, and I don't necessarily like to go to him and be like, play this exact thing.
Right.
I'll just more be like, here are the vague chords, or this is what it sounds like. And he'll just listen and then copy along, but maybe he'll add his own thing or something. And so I've learned to kind of let the live show be its own thing, and not, I don't always want it to be exactly the same. I want it to have its own life on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, just listen to the record. So I think, you know, so yeah.
Yeah, well, that's always, I always found it a drag that, you know, big bands like the Eagles or Fleetwood Mac or whatever, you go see them and they're playing the songs exactly the way they were on the record. It's like, well, I could just turn the stereo up and get the same deal and pay a whole lot less money.
Exactly. Yeah. So. Exactly. You have to let it have its own life, eh? So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's always nice. I mean, like with Bob Dylan, for instance, with him, there's a possibility of a horrible show or a great show, but at least you don't know what you're getting. It's something different each time.
I've had so many mixed reviews about Bob Dylan live shows, eh? Every person I talk to is just every show is different.
Yep. Well, I'd rather go to that than know that I'm going to get the same thing every time, so...
I agree.
And you guys with Voom and Reb, are you doing any kind of interaction or jamming or whatever it is that people do these days on stage?
Yes. Yeah, we have a little secret song that we're going to do at the end. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah, we'll keep it under wraps.
Yep. All right. We don't want to give away any secrets.
But it's happening. It's happening.
That'll be fun. And how far away from the next album are you, do you think?
Great question. We've recorded most of it. Yeah. We've recorded most of it. And as you know, in a way, this is where the hardest work happens, which is kind of like, how do you turn that recorded material into a song? And how much of it do you want to make like the demo, and how much of it do you want to like change? Mm-hmm. So, and what kind of sound does this album want to be? So we're kind of, after this Voom tour, that's going to be like the main focus. So I want to get out as soon as I can, but you know what it's like. It's the process is just always extending itself.
Yep. Oh well. You got to get the team behind you and the label and all that stuff, and it's not a one-man band. It's an effort. Very good. All righty. Well, on that note, I will let you go. I'm looking forward to seeing the show. I tell you, it's going to be, I mean, everybody's excited about all three of you guys with all this new material happening at the same time. So you can't beat it.
Yeah, it's crazy timing. It's really crazy timing with all of the releases that we've all individually had. Like, I don't think that was planned. I think it just happened that way. So that's really cool. But I think it's going to be a really, really fun show. I'm really excited to play. It feels like a new chapter for my band. And it feels like kind of elevated in some way from when we last performed. I think it's our first or second performance of the year, so it's very special just to be able to play again